Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you the top destinations for dating among travelers, at least according to Tinder. And the CDC says illness on board cruise ships is at a 12-year high. Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler Spot at 11:22, Mark shares some travel fears of his family of coming to California related over the holidays and offers them some solutions. Hopeful, humorous, or just filling time. You be the judge.
In the Sports Leisure Minute at 11:34, we'll tell you how to enjoy spring training in Arizona in March.
The United Kingdom and the European Union have some fun new fees for 2025, and if you don't have a real ID, you need to seriously consider getting one soon. Update at 11:35.
What happens when a bowl game is postponed today and tens of thousands of fans have no place to stay and no way to get home? And why are people taking ducks on cruise ships? It's the latest fad, of course. Then it's a part of Odds and Ends at 11:50.
Thanks for joining us for our first show in 2025, my friends. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Popping everywhere, man.
Jamaica. Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. A happy new year to all. Hope things are going well here. We're just barely trickling our way into 2025. Mark, how you doing? What's new? What do you have to say?
I'm doing pretty well here for first week of January. You know, this is the time of the year when companies like mine, we're not taking people places, so we're working on taking people to places that we're going to take people. So it's time for building tours and connecting with people and creating awesome stuff all over the planet. You talk about trips. I couldn't help this morning I was watching television, and of course President Carter passed a couple of weeks ago. And this week is going to be the laying in state at the Capitol, and basically the country's going to shut down most of it on Thursday to honor the former president. It's his final journey, and I can't help but think about, you know, having been if you're a fan of presidential history, and you have never been to Plains, Georgia, having taken people there a couple of times, I would strongly recommend that you put it very high on your list, because if you go to Plains and you spend more than 20 minutes there, you know, spend a day or two, you will get a great understanding of what Mr. Carter was about and perhaps why he made a much better humanitarian than perhaps president. But it's been said more than once in recent days that he was probably the best man ever to be president, and I wouldn't argue that. But if you go to Plains, you'll get a real feel for what the life of a former president was and why he felt the way he did about many things. So anyway, final journey for President Carter underway this week.
Well, there you go. All right, my friends, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show and in the year 2025, nothing has changed. Start the program off with the latest travel news. And with today's update, here's Mark.
We have a report in from the most on-time airlines and airports of 2024. Important to know that these are major airports of which Sacramento is not considered to be part of that list. So I can't tell you where Sacramento falls here, but I can tell you, let's start off with airlines first. The most on-time airline, I would never have guessed this, and I admit that I'm probably being somewhat prejudiced and judgmental, but Aeromexico has the best on-time record of any airline on the planet. Now,
well, they only fly twice a day.
Well, no, that's not true. They are a major airline in Mexico, and for some reason, I don't picture a Mexican airline as being the most on time. But congratulations to them for having their act together. They fly Aeromexico does an overnight down to Guadalajara. Am I right? No, that's Aeromexico from Sacramento. You think I would know these things, but I don't fly to Mexico. I can tell you where United flies and where American flies and all that stuff. Anyways, airports that are on time, mostly in the Middle East. And let me just tell you that although Mexico City, and this probably has something to do with why Aeromexico is the most on-time airline, Mexico City is third. So a lot of the top spots went to places in the Middle East. One American airport landed in the top 10. This is kind of interesting, too. Salt Lake City, which I would sort of think that Sacramento would kind of be in that category. Maybe quite not. Salt Lake City had 84% of its flights depart on time. Airlines from North America, the top airline from North America is, let's see here. Oh, they just lump them all together. They're all within 2 points of each other, around 83-84% on time. United, Alaska, American, and Southwest. Delta is not in there. Of course, they had that meltdown over last summer. Anyway, basically about 5 out of 6 domestic flights arrive within 15 minutes of their scheduled time in the United States, so that doesn't help the person who's on the sixth one, but 5 out of 6 is a reasonably decent record. Here's something kind of fun. Top destinations for dating among travelers. According to Tinder, Tom, you know what Tinder is, right? A dating app?
Right. Yeah, okay. Sure.
So this is, I found this fascinating that we're getting our travel information from Tinder now, but the reason that they can do this is because they have created a new place on the app where you can connect with people in other places. So they can say, some people in the United States, what other destinations are they pinging people at? You know, indicating that those are the places that they'd like to go and meet people. And so that's what, that's where they got this information. Let's see here. Hot spots. The hottest spot on the planet, apparently, to get a date, according to Tinder, is Paris. Paris, France. Couple of cities in Japan, one in Colombia, Amsterdam in the Netherlands, notoriously a place where people go to party. Barcelona, Spain, where people shoot squirt guns at you when you're in outdoor cafes, as we talked about. On a broader scale, entire countries like Mexico, Canada, the Philippines, and Japan top the list of international destination where American users were seen to be seeking potential matches. So if you're looking for, Tinder has some ideas on where you can meet, where you are most likely to meet your potential match.
Yes, and you heard it right here first on the Travel Guys.
Exactly. As we've talked about before, here's another story about women increasingly traveling alone in 2025. Nearly 40% of female travelers voiced an interest in setting out solo in 2025. Tourism market research firm Future Partners found in a recent survey. That's up 8 percentage points from a year ago, and pre-COVID, that number was 17% of female travelers were ready to head out on their own. Now it's 40. So what that means is that when you're checking in at the hotel desk, that lady standing in front of you, she's probably traveling alone. Be careful. She might turn around and whack you one if you're not careful there.
By the way, if you're a gal who's a single traveler and you have some thoughts on why that's a good thing and why you enjoy it, go to travelguysradio.com and drop us a comment on our homepage there. We'd love to hear from you as in regards to single lady travel. Travelguysradio.com.
JetBlue has gotten hit with a $2 million fine for chronic flight delays. This is the first of its time enforcement of a new rule. JetBlue is being dinged for having flight pairs that were notoriously late over an extended period of time, meaning the airline sort of knew that they couldn't make this schedule. In other words, you're waiting for a plane in Sacramento, a JetBlue plane, and that's notoriously late, and it's turning around and going back to Boston or New York. And so consistently, that plane is going to mean the people who are on it are going to miss their connections when they get back there on that overnight flight. JetBlue has apparently been doing this with a lot of different route pairs. It included a lot of routes from JFK Airport and also from Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. And so they have been fined $2 million because, the authorities say that You know, they knew these flights were going to be late, and they did nothing to, over months and months and months, to fix the schedule so the flights wouldn't be late. So I will suggest to you that's the reason we created the rule. It's so that, hey, guys, knock them on the side of the head. It's time to get your act together. If you can't do that, we have financial disincentives to help you. Popular Spanish travel destination imposes 2-year short-term rental ban. This is kind of big news. It's the first time this has happened. I'm not going to say this right, and I was going to look it up before I went on the air. Alicante. Alicante. What a terrible thing. The travel guy can't pronounce the destination.
Alicante.
Spain. Popular destination among British travelers and a growing one for American travelers. Local officials have imposed a 2-year ban on new short-term rental properties in the area. I think you're going to see this in a lot of places. Companies are buying up short-term rentals, and it's creating even bigger housing shortages in some of these destinations. And so the people in the destinations are starting to push back against the fact that these accommodations are no longer on the market. They're being used for tourists, and they can't be used by local people. I think this is going to be a major problem for Airbnb and VRBO and some of these other folks down the road. They're going to find that local folks are not in tune with this idea of renting out all of these properties. Plus, wasn't the original idea of Airbnb was that you, Tom, were going to go on vacation somewhere, mm-hmm. and or you were going to go visit family, and you had your house was going to be available for a couple of weeks, and you were going to rent it to me because I was going to be in town, and I needed a place to stay, and it was a win-win. You got a few bucks out of your house, and I got a place to stay, and everybody lived happily ever after. Now, if a corporation buys up all of the homes and sets all of these rules, which Airbnbers are more consistently pushing back against, then doesn't have anything to do with the original business model.
No, it certainly doesn't. Yes, no. But here again, you know, people find a way, especially if they're large corporations, always looking for a way to take something like that and make money off of it.
You know? Well, I mean, we have a capitalistic economic system here, so they're not doing anything illegal, at least not yet. But I'm going to suggest to you that they're going to start running into more and more of these places that are going to say, you know what? Enough of this. We're going to fix it so that you can't take housing that is normally intended for residents of our city and turn it into vacation housing. Okay, quickly here, a couple more things. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, shows cruise ship illnesses are the highest in 12 years. This mostly has to do with the norovirus, which is something that you really don't want to get. I haven't had it yet, thank goodness, but it's one of those run it both in sort of things for a couple of days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. Of course, you get on a cruise ship where you're in a very controlled environment. It's very easy for it to spread. So if you are cruising, gosh, washing your hands and stuff, remember that every time you reach out and you touch a rail walking down a hallway or something like that, you're probably, what, the 20th or 30th or 40th person to touch that rail in the last 60 minutes since somebody walked by and cleaned it a little bit. So just a word of the wise there. Also, this shouldn't be a complete condemnation of cruise ships because the reporting methods for things like outbreaks on cruise ships have gotten a lot more strict in recent years. So you are a lot more likely to hear about things like this because of the reporting system. You're not going to hear that in Sacramento. In state of California office buildings, the norovirus broke out, and people are going home, and lots of people are, because there's not a reporting method for that. So for the cruise lines, they are being held to a standard that requires them to report things like this. So that's why we know about it. It doesn't mean that this isn't happening in other places or that all of a sudden everybody should jump overboard off of a cruise ship. But it does mean that you need to take additional precautions if you're going on a cruise ship. When the weather warms up or if you're cruising to a warm weather destination, this is less of a problem. And finally here, Hawaii is thinking about adding a green fee for travelers sometime soon. Stand up and be concerned about this. $50 they're talking about. It's important to know that Hawaii already has some of the highest hotel taxes in the country. So they're already dinging travelers pretty heavily here. They're talking about an additional fee because they've had some natural disasters and things like that there. There will come a point at which people will say, you know, I mean, here's a gentleman, Rich Tomaselli from Travel Pulse, wrote, and he's in favor of the fee, which is kind of unusual for him, but I am really very much against it. If you need to raise the hotel taxes another percent or something like that, that's fine. They're already 17-plus percent in Hawaii. That means you get a $250 hotel room. It's actually about $285, $90 before, and that doesn't have anything to do with resort fees or anything like that. Anyways, Hawaii thinking about another way to ding us for taxes. We are going to talk about some of that more, about how European countries are coming, getting into our wallets a little bit later on in the program. That is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, and by the way, that city in Spain?
Alicante.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. Well, thank my computer. All right, we are the Travel Guys. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. A word about Rudy's Hideaway, Mark.
Do you know where, Tom, the best place to get clam chowder on the entire West Coast of the United States is?
I gave away the answer by my comment, by my lead-in to you. Oh, I don't know. At Romano's house.
It's at Rudy's Hideaway.
Rudy's Hideaway.
50 at Hazel.
Yeah, I think
they have the best clam chowder. The best strategy when you're going to Rudy's for clam chowder or dinner is to have your dinner and then get a clam chowder to go, because you're going to be hungry tomorrow. And it's, you know, if you live on the other side of town, it's not going to be convenient. So that's my plan. Two for one on clam chowders. Not that you get two for the price of one, but you buy two when you make one visit.
And take one home with you. Ain't that the truth? And by the way, we talked about this last week. Rudy's is not open on the weekend for lunch, so I can't go after the show and get my clam chowder. They are Tuesday through Friday for their lunch program. But by the way, Rudy's Hideaway, a lobster house that's a place in Sacramento for hand-cut steaks, jumbo lobster tails, and also the Travel Guy special still going on, made it a whole year. It's a 6-ounce lobster tail with most of the fixings for only $29.95. You can't go wrong having taken family or friends or a lunch at Rudy's anytime. Once again, Rudy's Hideaway is just off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Tell them the Travel Guy sent you. Next up, Smarter Traveler segment right here on the radio.
Radio.
Hello there. Here we go.
You back already?
Yeah, we're back on, Mark. You ready? You can tell this is live, right?
You okay, can. Yes, you can. Yep.
All right, here you go.
Okay, so. Sports Leisure Vacations is going to spring training in Arizona. We have two seats available. Trip departs on March the 6th. It's 5 days. Go down and see the Giants and the Athletics, as they are known to Major League Baseball fans. But in the Arizona sunshine, we stay at a Marriott Hotel just north of the airport there, which is right kind of in the center. You're going to different baseball stadiums all the time, so you want to kind of be in the middle of the Valley of the Sun there. We go to Rustler's Roost for dinner one night. We have a couple of baseball talks, bring in an old ball player or two, and sit around and shoot the baseball BS one evening. If you'd like to go to spring training with Sports Leisure Vacations, go to sportsleisure.com, click on the baseball tab, and then you will find all the details to join us at spring training in Arizona. Group of 20 folks, two seats available.
All right. Mark, I think I may have sent you something, or either that or your... my wife, who does a little bit of research for Sports Leisure from time to time, about some discounts, special pricing, boy, bottom dollar cheapo things for spring training. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about how the prices were going up and up and up. Have they started to come down at all?
The best, it's all dynamic pricing at spring training, just like it is everywhere else. So if you want to avoid... St. Patrick's Day is the biggest day in spring training, especially if it happens to fall on or near a weekend. So you can pay $100 for a ticket to a spring training game. If you're going to see the Giants and the Dodgers and you've got a pretty good seat, you could pay $100 to see a game that does not count. But it's in the sunshine in Arizona. So, and the other thing is, you're only going to see the players that, especially for the first few weeks of spring training. Here's the deal. If you want to go to spring training and have it cost you the least amount of money, it starts in late February. The games, they start playing games in late February. So go then, because the crowds are not there yet. First week of March. We go the second week of March. We used to go the third week. We've moved up a week just because it's gotten a little warmer. And when you get down to Phoenix and it's 85, that's a little bit too warm when you're coming out of the winter. So it's better to hit the 80-degree days. But the ballparks are nice. They're fun. It's a different atmosphere at spring training. Like I said, the games don't count. So, you know, whether your team wins or loses really doesn't matter all that much. But we've been going for a long time.
Is the I haven't been, so I don't know what the stadiums are like. I've seen pictures. Is it kind of like the size of a Rivercats stadium?
Yes.
Kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Very much resembles a Rivercats stadium. Some of them have been more upgraded. I remember when the Giants first started playing in Scottsdale. They were, their stadium was brand new and it was the state of the art, and now their stadium is one of the older stadiums and mm-hmm. not as state of the art ish as it used to be. So, you know, in some cases now they've got training and batting cages and all kinds of things actually at the stadium, so it's all in one place. In the olden days, you know, sometimes the training facility and the stadium were in different places, so the ball players went one place for a few hours in the morning and then they had to make their way to the stadium and all of that kind of jazz. So will you do me a favor here, Mr. Romano?
Yeah.
As you noticed, I was busy there and distracted when we came back from the news.
I know.
The stuff I have to talk about is across the room, so will you keep the audience's attention while I go get it?
Okay, no problem. That's live radio. You can count on us to have a few bumps along the road, or just some entertainment that nobody ever really thought of. Let's see here. I was talking about spring training. I was going to say to Mark that, so if you go to an Athletics game now, which is also the Rivercats home, you can imagine that you're kind of like at spring training for the Athletics. But anyway, it's just the price will be a lot more.
Yeah.
Are you planning on going to an A's game here?
I will. I'm not going to try to go opening night, although that would be tempting. I mean, I've lived in Sacramento most of my life, and I'm a baseball fan, and my company started by taking people to baseball games almost 50 years ago.
There you go. You could take a Sports Leisure bus to an Athletics game.
Well, one of the problems with that, though, as I've explained to my travelers, is that it costs. Buses are based on mileage and or time. So the amount of time to take a bus to an A's game would be fairly similar based on minimum charges. The cost of taking a group to an A's game in Sacramento would be very close to the cost of taking a group to a Giants game in San Francisco. I'm not sure people are willing to pay that sort of premium. So we'll see. But I do plan to go, you know, a couple of times myself. Hey, it's baseball in Sacramento, and you never know. I mean, they might end up staying around here longer than a couple of years, or maybe this could be a dress rehearsal for another team down the road. I don't know if you've noticed, but in my life, I've noticed that sports franchises tend to move around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to some travel stuff here. We have three major travel changes that are coming up this year. Our buddy Chris Elliott pointed them out in one of his columns this week. By the way, Chris is going to join us next week, and he penned a thing that was just classic. He was apparently on an airplane where an animal got loose. And I had that same experience just about coming home from St. Louis about a week ago. Part of a dog. That's what I call chihuahuas, part of a dog.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
Who got loose on the airplane. And so anyway, our buddy Chris has a story about that. Anyway, this week Chris wrote about three big changes that are coming for travel rules for this year. Two of them are get into your pocket things from overseas. We talked last week about UK visitors having to pay an additional fee. This starts January the 8th. So it's $13. It's valid for multiple entries into the UK over a two-year period. You have to do this before, you have to register with the UK government for pre-screening before you arrive. So if you're headed to any United Kingdom country, think Scotland, Ireland, you know, Great Britain, you're going to need to pre-register and pay them $13. Now, second thing, European Union, which is most of the rest of the countries there in Europe, have created a system that is likely to go to effect in May. This is an application, European Travel Information and Authorization System. It's $7. It allows you to stay in the European Union for 90 days, which you can renew. It's valid for 3 years. So 90-day period. So let's pretend you're going to Europe on a cruise this year, and it's a week long. And the next year you make a trip to Paris, you don't have to renew this authorization. It'll be good for 3 years or up to 90 days. It's $7. So $13 from the UK, $7 from the European Union. Those are things. The UK one goes into effect in January. The European Union one is likely to go into effect in May. So I'm sorry to report, but just has been going on for years. Municipalities and countries and destinations have figured out that, as we talked about Hawaii in the news segment, dip into travelers' pockets. If it's only a few bucks, you can usually get away with it.
All right. Now I understand real IDs are right around the corner as well. And the question is, I was talking to somebody who says, well, I don't need a real ID. I'm just going to use my passport.
Ah, that's okay. You can do that.
All right.
They knew what they were talking about.
You don't have to panic over the real ID thing.
If you have a passport, you can use that in place of a real ID. The only thing is that you now have to remember to take that passport with you. And, of course, there's always the chance that you could misplace it or lose it somewhere. But, yes, if this whole real ID stuff can be – you can get around it if you have a valid passport. Okay? So for the rest of the folks – we've been on the air for 17 years with this program. Congress passed this authorization in 2005. I looked it up the other day because I thought to myself, we've been talking about this all the time we've been on the air, and indeed we have. This is something that was supposed to go into effect 3 or 4 or 7 or 23 times, and the government keeps postponing it. The COVID postponement was understandable, but it's supposed to take effect May the 7th. And everybody keeps waiting for the postponement announcement, and it hasn't come. So my suggestion to you is that if you're a domestic traveler, you need to look into this real ID thing, because as the deadline grows closer, it will be tougher to get it quickly with a turnaround. So don't wait until the last minute. Don't be a procrastinator. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and there is a link. We have a list of all the stuff that we put links to. There should be one fairly close to the top about real ID. You can go online, and within a few minutes, you can read what it does. It's not going to change your life dramatically. So why are they doing this? The reason is because this will be a more they're going to have your driver's license, for example, doesn't have your Social Security information, some other things. The government is going to know more. They're saying, we want to know more about you before we issue this ID that allows you to roam around in airports and do all of these other things in our country. So you can say, well, you know, I don't want to mess. The government knows enough about me, and that's fine. But the reality is that if you want to fly on an airplane, you don't have a passport. As it stands right now, as of May the 7th, you are going to need to have a real ID.
Now, I read, and we can research this, I don't want to mislead people, and I don't want people to think they don't need to get a real ID.
Right.
But one of the publications I read not that long ago indicated that they're not going to not let you on the plane if you don't have your real ID. They're just going to have to make you wait longer while they do research to make sure and check other things to prove your identity as to who you are.
We need to talk to
It's just going to... It's just going to delay things for everybody, including everyone. You, and mess everything up.
We need to talk to our TSA guys about this. There are ways to get, if you lose you're out traveling and you lose your ID, or you go to the airport and you realize you don't have it and there's not enough time to go home and get it, there are ways for them to get you through security to verify who you are. It takes a few minutes of your time, and yes, to your point, Tom, it's going to hold up the entire line for other people. So, but yes, TSA doesn't like to talk about this a whole lot, but there is a way for them to figure out who you are, and they have privately said, it says right here in Chris's words, he says, fun fact, no one will actually be denied boarding because of the new rule. TSA has other ways of verifying who you are, but it's likely to lead to a delay. So
that's where I read it. Yeah,
yeah.
Chris Elliott. Well, they have to extract a tooth or do a blood test. And you don't want to do that.
No, or they can cut off your big toe. I mean, that's the other option is...
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, real ID, if you are a traveler, particularly a domestic traveler who doesn't have a passport, you need to put this on your radar because May the 7th will be here before you know it.
There you go. I got mine. You got yours?
I do not. I have a passport, but I'm going to go ahead and get a real ID.
Okay.
And I'll be able to report back on it, on how that process goes. In fact, I think I'm going to start it for me next week.
All right. Good, good. Okay. What else you got?
That's it, buddy. Odds and ends are coming up next after the break.
All right, my friends. Stick around. Odds and ends, always fun, right here with the Travel Guys. Don't forget now, TravelGuysRadio.com. If you missed a portion of this program or want to listen to any past Travel Guys shows, you can catch them there at TravelGuysRadio.com. Also, iHeartRadio, as well as KFBK.com.
God, we're everywhere.
Podcasts are sure. We're everywhere. We're worldwide.
Hey, I have a commentary on the commercial, one of the commercials that ran during the break.
Okay, be careful now.
I will. I've been thinking for a couple minutes how I could phrase this and not get myself or the station in trouble. But, you know, there was one of those men's health commercials in there. And I noticed that they said, the guy said, hey, you know, I noticed as I got here into my early 30s that, you know, things were not going as well as they had been. And I thought to myself, when they introduced those medications, they were for like guys in their 60s, you know, and then they were for guys in their 50s. And now they got a guy on the radio who's barely 30 years old, and he's, you know, and anyway, I just thought that was kind of entertaining that they've found a way to expand their demographics in the marketplace.
Well, I'm staying away from all of that.
Yeah, I would. That's you're supposed to. That way only one of us will get in trouble and someone will be here to do the show next week. Did you know that the most optimistic people in the country, what state do you suppose those people are in? This really
Minnesota.
Surprised me. Minnesota. Uh-huh. That, yeah, not a bad guess. They're in the second tier. The most optimistic people in the country live in the state of Wyoming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
According to the Bowl Half Full study, and there's a tier. There's six states: Alabama, Montana, Wyoming, New Jersey, Delaware, and California are in the top tier of people who feel the most optimistic, feel the best about where they live. So there you
Fascinating.
Go.
Fascinating. Yeah, my brother moved to Wyoming many years ago. He was an educator down in Modesto, and he packed up the family, and they moved to Wyoming with a buddy and opened a hunting and fishing a tour company, and they were very, very happy.
So take that, Hoffman family.
They were extremely optimistic.
Yeah. Despite the earthquakes, people are still optimistic in California. Listen, here is an interesting story. I didn't think about this when it first happened, but after a couple hours, it started to sink into me. They had that horrible situation in New Orleans this week where the guy plowed the into the crowd and all these people died. Of course, it was right on the eve of a college bowl game there in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So they postponed the game a day. Now, that might seem to, I mean, it certainly was appropriate, and I'm not questioning why they did it, but think about this. You have tens of thousands of people who have gotten into New Orleans, many of them on airplanes, and they're mm-hmm. staying in hotels, and they're all thinking that the game is going to be played on Wednesday, so, you know, Wednesday night after the game or Thursday or something, we're going to check out and we're going to fly home, except not so much, because now the game is being played on Thursday. You paid all this money and went all that way, or do you really want to fly home while the game is being played? So the airlines stepped up to the plate pretty quickly. This all happened within a matter of a few hours, and it created waivers and stuff for people. Of course, the problem was we're coming out of a two-week holiday period. So the game was actually played on Thursday, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, these planes are pretty full because these are people who have already made their plans, have nothing to do with New Orleans. Somebody's flying from New Orleans back to Sacramento, and let's say they have to pass through Denver. Well, and when they get on the plane to Sacramento, that doesn't have people from New Orleans on it. It's got people from all over the country. So finding this many seats at short notice like that, really difficult. the airlines, all the major carriers, waived any fees or any additional charges. I haven't seen anything yet or any reports on how it worked out for everybody, but we'll see. But anyway, congratulations to the airlines. Same thing, the hotels in New Orleans stepped up and did the same thing. Now, that's a little different situation. You got somebody arriving on Thursday to check into a hotel, and you're supposed to be gone, and now you're not gone. Where does that person go? I mean, with an airplane, it's like, okay, go home. You know, your plane is not, your seat is not available or whatever, your flight is not operating. But with a hotel, I mean, it's still standing there. Anyway, this is a really difficult situation, and if you think about it, it probably caused a lot of heartache and a lot of sleepless nights for some folks in the New Orleans area. But to their credit, they are a tourism destination. So they, an all hands on deck, at least they have the hands to put on deck. So
I
thought that was pretty impressive, though.
Back to one of your comments that you make from time to time, be sure you have the app of the airlines. And the hotel, for that matter, on your smart device, so that you can move quickly to make changes if necessary.
I fly a lot with United Airlines, and I'm not necessarily a huge fan of United, although they did something very nice for me again the other day that really impressed the bejesus out of me. But anyways, they have an incredible app. If you fly United Airlines and you don't have that app on your phone, shame on you. It'll tell you where your baggage is, what carousel it's on. It'll tell you where your flight is, your connecting flight is leaving from. It'll tell you how long it's going to take to get from the gate that you're at to the gate that you need to go to. It'll even give you a connection to a little map if you need it. The United Airlines app is just way over the top. It'll show you where your plane is coming from, not only the previous flight, but the flight before that, and the flight before that, and the flight before that. So you can track your plane throughout for, you know, like a 24-hour period. It's really a terrific app. We talked about this a little bit, but another release last week about how airlines are selling more of their first-class seats and how more people are willing to pay up for first-class seats. So airlines that used to sell first-class for 3 and 4 times coach are selling it for 1.5 to 2 times coach. This is why people are who have high-tier status, one of the reasons they chase that is because if you can get upgraded, you know, 1 out of every 3 flights or something like that, that's a heck of a good deal. It's worth spending some extra money making that mileage run at the end of the year to keep that status. Well, if you're not getting those first class upgrades, which is what's happening, I fly with United, and I used to get upgraded. I'm pretty high up the ladder, used to get upgraded probably half the time. I would say now that's maybe 1 out of 10 as opposed to 5 out of 10. So how many people are willing to chase that status, because that's a pretty big benefit that's going away. All right, one more thing here before we wrap it up for the travel guys for today. It has to do with ducks on cruise ships. Remember a couple months ago, Tom, we talked about people putting door hangers on their door and putting them upside down or right side up, or, you know, indicated whether or not you were...
Yeah, what was it? It was a picture of a... How could I forget?
Anyways, we have a new fad on cruise ships now. This doesn't have anything to do with finding a temporary partner for the night, as the previous one did. But this is just kind of a fun thing. But it's starting to drive the cruise ships crazy. They're called quackers. The folks who bring these things on cruise ships. Why would they be called quackers? Because they're bringing rubber ducks on board.
Rubber ducks. Okay.
Yes, rubber ducks. And they're putting them all over the place on board cruise ships, and with little sayings on board them, and people are having rubber duck hunts and all kinds of those things. The cruise ships are not all that amused. Disney themselves has pushed back. The people on board ship have said, here's what one Disney cruiser said, the ducks are tacky and detract from the beauty of the ship. I suppose they're cute if you're 6 years old. So some of the cruise lines are actually trying to take some steps to create behavioral punishments for people who leave ducks all over the cruise ships. So
grow
anyway,
up, people,
if you're a fun person, and you like, look up quackers, on Google, and it'll tell you if you're about to go on a cruise. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Upside down pineapples.
That's it.
All right. Stay well, my friends. See you next week, 11 a.m., the next edition of The Travel Guys.